This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Last week we talked about Jesus going to his hometown. I talked about opening the door to God. Keith Moore had said something that really stuck out to me when he was over the pulpit and he kept knocking. He said, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And we talked about the fact that Jesus will knock, but if you don't open your heart to him, he's not coming in. He's not going to force you to do anything. Behold, he said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. So the idea about the Lord is he knocks, but we have to open up. Some of you maybe grew up in church and you turned away from God maybe at some point in time, but then you recognized this is where I need to be, and you made a U-turn and went back towards the Lord. How many of you know he was there all the time? And so it wasn't a matter of, oh, he finally reached me, he finally got. No, it's a matter of you finally just went to open the door and went, please come in. I need you in my life. And so we see that opening the door. Now, so I wanted to look at some people in the Bible, because in the scriptures, there are people who close doors to God and people who open doors to God. One thing I do want is I want to make sure that the doors of my life are wide open to God. And here's the thought, and this is something that people have to get a hold of. Listen, God is not going to mess your life up. So many people, and I used to think this, oh Lord, if I just yield my life to you, you're going to make me marry a woman I can't stand and send me to some foreign country that I don't want to be. And, you know, people think, oh, you know, Lord, if I just give my life to you, you're going to take it, man. You're going to send me somewhere. I'm going to be sitting in a mud hut somewhere looking at a woman with a bone in her nose. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, I don't think I can handle that. I might want to erase that one from the tape about the bone in the nose. But here's the deal. This is a great revelation. God is actually would be better to you than you would be to yourself. He'll be better to you. I remember I found a girl in college. I thought, man, she was the girl of my dreams. And started dating her, and she did not turn out to be the girl of my dreams. Turned out to be more nightmarish on Elm Street kind of thing. But I just thought, man, that's the most wonderful. I will never meet someone like that. Thank you. I didn't. I met someone better. And so the idea that, and you know, and that God's going to send me over to some foreign country and be, let me tell you something. Almost without fail, everyone who's in a foreign country wants to be there. And they love it. And they think it's wonderful. Jim Eby is one of the missionaries we support. I love Jim. Jim's over 70. But you wouldn't know it. Man, he's high energy. He's going all the time. He goes to some places. He goes to the Sudan. He goes to India and Pakistan and Nepal. And he goes to places that they won't even let me talk about. And he's like, Alan, do you want to come? I'm like, no. I know where I got grace. I got grace for Conroe. I got Conroe grace. Don't send me to Pakistan. I don't want to go. Say, well, don't you want to reach the lost? I absolutely do. And that's why we send Jim. So if you're thinking, oh, Lord, I don't want to give my life to the Lord, he's going to mess it up. Oh, no. Listen, we want God in our life. We want to open the door. Jesus went to his hometown, Mark the 6th chapter. We won't go there. Mark the 6th chapter, Jesus goes to his hometown. And he's preaching in his hometown, and they really shut him down. And they said, who is this? They said, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the carpenter? And where's he getting all this stuff? It's like, who do you think you are? Who made you so smart? Right. And the Bible said they were offended at him. They were very disrespectful towards him. We're going to read another thing tonight. Very disrespectful towards him. And it says in Mark the 6th chapter, you can go back and read it, it said he could do no mighty work there, except he laid his hand upon a few sick folk. Now, people say, well, God's God, and he's going to do anything he wants. Well, he couldn't there. And they shut him down. But then, same chapter, and this is the reason I love that, same chapter, he goes across the lake to the area of Gennesaret. He gets over there, and these people see him, and as soon as they see Jesus come out of the boat, they're excited. But they didn't see him as a carpenter. They saw him as a healer, as a miracle worker. And then they begin to run around and just and drag sick people out into the streets. And then they begged him, very respectful, "Lord, can we just touch your clothes as you come by?" And the Bible says, as many as touched him were made whole. So can you see that was two completely different results? Some shut him down, some opened up their hearts wide and got huge results. Say, "Alan, so that was back then, this is now." Listen, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so some of these principles still apply. You know, and I know, you can shut the Lord down in your life, or you can open your heart up wide to him and see what he does. So let's take a little bit closer look at Jesus. This is Luke's encounter, same encounter when Jesus is in his hometown. Luke, the fourth chapter, we'll start with verse 22. Jesus is talking. He had just shared that scripture with them where he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." So he said, "All bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." Now, this is his hometown again. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.'" Then he said, "Surely I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha the prophet. None of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath." He did not make these people happy when he said this. So let's take a little look at what he's saying. First, Jesus goes back into his hometown, and he was treated with a prove-it mentality. So do something here. We've heard you've done things elsewhere. Do something here. In other words, prove it to me. Prove to me that God is real. Prove to me that Jesus is alive. Prove to me. Some of you encountered this before. You've had people that look at you and go, I'm a person of science. Prove to me that Jesus is real. Prove to me that God exists. I can't see him. I can't feel him. I want to tell you something. Don't even attempt to try that. The Bible said we don't get people to God trying to prove anything to them. The Bible said he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So in other words, you don't believe, you'll never see him in your life. But to those of you who believe, he's precious. To those of you who believe, he's wonderful. And so it's not a matter of proving. So Jesus was saying, here they were saying to Jesus, do a miracle. Do something, and then maybe we'll believe it. And that's the wrong mentality. Don't do something, and then we'll believe. Jesus, we believe you. Remember that group across the lake? They didn't say, "Hey, Jesus, would you heal a few people? And if you do, then we're going to run throughout the whole area and then we'll put forth the effort to lay the sick people in the streets." They laid them out in the streets ahead of time and said, "Lord, you just touch them. That's all we're asking. You just touch them and we're going to be good." So that proved to me mentality. Now, Jesus defined the problem. He said, a prophet is not accepted in his own area. That word means approved. He said in John 4:44, a prophet is without honor in his hometown among his family. Now, let me just stop right here. This explains a little bit of how it's difficult to minister to your own family members. Because family members are looking at you like, "Bubba, I changed your diapers. I remember you." And sometimes some of your close buddies, they're like, "Dude, like you're all Jesus-fied now. I used to party with you. I know how you are." So why? Sometimes it's harder to get people who have known you in one area to accept what God's done in your life. Say, "Well, I've been trying to witness to my family, and I did too, man. I blasted my entire family when I got saved. Thought they'd want to hear it. They didn't." Here's the key. So what do I do with my family then, Alan? I'm trying to reach my family. First one is pray for them. Pray that God would send laborers across their path. Someone that they'll listen to. The second thing is live in such a way that they've got nothing to say. When they see your life, and what you'll find it will happen is they'll watch you for a while. And then when something goes wrong, they will find you. And they'll go, "Hey, could you pray for me? Me and my wife are going through a tough time. Could you pray?" You just want to keep the doors open. Does that make sense? But just understand, listen, if Jesus went to his hometown and people shut him down, don't be super surprised if they do the same thing to you. He said, a prophet is not without honor. Honor means to value and esteem. And what happens is sometimes people who've known you the way you used to be can't believe that God's actually done something in your life. And people who don't know you can see what God's done in your life, and they value and esteem that. So don't try to force yourself on anybody. Pray for them, love them. Just keep walking in love toward them. Look for opportunities. Don't blast them. My pastor used to say, don't fire hose everybody, just sprinkle them. And that's got some merit. So Jesus is in his hometown. They said they didn't honor him. They didn't esteem him. Now that's important, because if you don't honor and esteem, there are people, and you've heard people talk about, you've heard people talk about the Lord, and you've heard people say things like, well, you know, and the man upstairs, the big guy, something like that. I hear that, and I'm like, okay, I get it, but it tells me you don't know him.
That's right.
Because if you know him, you're not going to just come sauntering up to the Lord and go, hey, big guy. Because there's going to be some huge winged creature probably standing up, slap you on the back of the head and go, get down on your... No, all of us, the Bible said we can't even look at him and live. So how many of you know it's not going to be like, hey, big guy. It's going to be like, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and what is to come. So a reverence and a respect for God ought to be in our lives. It ought to be there. And honor. Because I can't see him doesn't mean I can't honor him. I believe he's real. I believe he died for me. I'm going to honor him. And that reverence and respect should be there. So when you refer to him in the right way. Now, Jesus said something. He said, I know what you're saying to me. He said, do something and we'll believe you. He said, it's interesting. He said, there was a widow and a leper healed in Israel. He said, but they weren't from Israel. The widow was from the area of Sidon. The leper was from Syria. Now, it's going to tell you something right there. And that made these people mad. These Jewish folks got really mad in this hometown because they felt very entitled. They felt very superior, and they were offended at that. In fact, the Bible said they actually tried to throw Jesus off the brow of the hill of the city. And he just walked out through the middle. I don't know how he did that, but that was cool. I mean, they're about to throw him off, and he just walks through the middle of them, which is really neat. But they were hardly offended. So I want to take a look in the last few minutes here. I want to look at this one of these ladies that Jesus is talking about. She's a widow. All the widows in Israel, and the Lord sends Elijah to one lady. So this tells us this is a lady who's a little bit different. She's got her heart open to God. She opened the door to God and saw a wonderful miracle in her life. So let's look at what she did. These things are not written so we can just read them and go historically, hey, what a great story. They're written so we can look at them and go, huh, there's a principle here. And it works. Let's read the story of Elijah. Elijah had been, there had been a drought. He said, the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, this is Elijah, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And so she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, don't fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. Now, there's a principle here. Remember, God sent Elijah to this lady, and he did it for a reason. There's a reason in it, and how she was. Here's the first one. Elijah, you got to talk about him. He was sent to a foreign country. Sidon was a Phoenician city. These were some of the, you talk about heathen. These people wrote the book on being heathen. In fact, one of their citizens was a well-known Bible character called Jezebel. She was from Sidon. And so she's the one that had all those prophets of Baal and all those temple, they had all these temple prostitutes and stuff. It was some pretty sordid stuff. And Jezebel was from that area. I know Elijah's probably thinking, what? You're going to send me there? And you're going to send me to a widow? Widows were not well taken care of during those days. If you were a widow, you were in trouble. You talk about a marginalized group. I know how challenging it is for single parents today. If you imagine single moms, how difficult it is today on single moms. Can you imagine back then when there was no government aid, there was hardly a place for them to work? And so you're thinking, Lord, you're going to send me to a widow? How many know that God sometimes will do things that you don't think, you're thinking, Lord, that didn't make a lot of sense to me. And so he's going, and he sees her, and she shows some honor. Now, here's the first thing she did. He said, would you please go get me a cup of water? She could have looked at him and said, excuse me? Do I know you? But the Lord had already prepared her heart. She recognized him. She went to get some water. And then he did something that is like so totally a guy thing. You ladies all at least appreciate this. It's like, could you go get me a glass of water? And while you're at it, could you bring me a sandwich? How many of you ladies know you've heard that before? That's like, hey, honey, can you get me a Coke from the refrigerator? Yeah, and while you're up, could you heat me up something? It's a guy thing. See, it's scriptural. Guys do that. That's. She looked at, yeah, I got an amen on that. It's like, yeah. Yeah, brother, preach that. She said this. She could have looked at him and said, who are you? But she went to get it. So she had a heart willing to serve. Then she said something to Elijah. She acknowledged, she said, as the Lord your God lives. So she, even though this woman is in Sidon, even though she's in the most heathen land, she knew something about the God of Israel. And she believed that the God of Israel could do something for her. And she looked at Elijah, and she must have recognized who he was. The Lord had already prepared her heart. And she said, as the Lord your God lives. And that's a powerful phrase. The Lord your God is alive. And she's acknowledging that. And then she explained her lack of ability. She said, Elijah, I'm sorry. All I've got is enough. There had been a horrible drought. She said, all I've got left. I had enough left for one sandwich. Make one sandwich, and this is my version, and one sandwich, and I'm going to split it with my son, and we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. And Elijah comes up with something and says something by the word of the Lord that's a powerful thought. He said, don't fear. He said, go and do as you've said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. Now, we hear that today. We're sitting here in the room. We hear that. Do you realize how preposterous that sounded? You got a little boy, and you're going to walk back inside. You're going to start cooking up the bread, and he's evidently old enough. He's not nursing. He's old enough to eat the bread. Little boys are, he's probably like most little boys I know, he's hungry. So he's probably going, Mama, I'm hungry. Mama, when, tugging on her. Mama, when's that bread going to be ready, Mama? Mama, we going to eat? I'm hungry, Mama. How many of you moms know that's going to be a tough call? I'm going to make this preacher. I'm going to make him some first. That'd make the courier. Pastor asked starving widow for her last meal. But he said something. He said, don't be afraid. Now listen, fear is something that if we're going to open up the door to God, one of the biggest things that shuts the door to him is fear. Fear, Lord, if I trust you with my life, what are you going to do with it? That's fear. God, if I put you first in my finances, there's not going to be enough for me. That's fear. And there's always, when the Lord gives us a word, there's always a fear that we have to overcome. He said, don't be afraid. He said, make me some first. But then he gave her a reason not to be afraid. Listen, God doesn't just say, don't fear. Hey, don't be afraid. He gives us a reason. He didn't look at this lady and say, hey, bring me some first. Woman. He didn't do that. He said, you bring me, you make me a little cake first. He said, for thus says the Lord. So here comes a promise that gives her a reason not to be afraid. If she will believe. See, that wasn't easy. She had to go make that cake. She probably didn't have enough left in there in that bin. And she's taking that cake, walking past her hungry little boy, taking that cake out to Elijah. But then when she comes back and she goes in that flour bin, she's got more. And then the next day, she's got more. And then she's got more. And then she's got more. I'm going to tell you something. You say, Alan, you believe that actually happened? Hey, absolutely. If you create planets and solar systems and the universe, you can surely multiply some flour. So the promise is what gave her a reason not to fear. So why am I saying that? Because listen, God's not going to look at you and go, don't be afraid. He said, don't be afraid. He said, for I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what we have a choice. When we open our heart up, is go, Lord, I'm going to believe that. And when I believe the promise, then I get the benefits of the promise. Did you catch that? How many of you know when you believed that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, when you believed that God raised him from the dead and you said, man, I believe that. When you did, you got the benefits of that. It was available to you all the time. But when you believed it is when that opened the door wide to God in your life for salvation. Same thing applies to being filled with the Spirit. Same thing applies to healing. Same thing applies to peace in your mind. Same thing applies to an understanding and wisdom about the days ahead. We have to open ourselves up to the promise and believe it. And when we do, we get the benefits of it. Amen. This little lady said, okay. She said, I guess she figured, what have I got to lose? I'm about to die anyway. I'm going to make this preacher some cake. Get him a little cake. Here, preacher, eat your cake. But that gave her a reason. When God looks at you and says, don't be afraid. He doesn't just say, cause it's a good idea. He says, cause I'm going to be with you. A number of years ago, when I'd gone to North Carolina to start a church, you know that, it failed, it didn't work. So we're praying for a long time. What do we do? So finally, we're getting ready and we're praying. Now, Joey and I are up in the mountains of North Carolina. Love to pray in the mountains of North Carolina. You can hear from God up there. And I was praying, and Jordan and I were just up there reading our Bibles and praying. And the Lord spoke to my heart it's now on the screen, out of Jeremiah. And it's Jeremiah 30:10. It's there, do not fear, O my servant Jacob. Now that's, Jacob is kind of like that's an inside thing between me and God. I'll have to tell you that story sometime else. It's an inside story. Says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar. And your seed from the land of their captivity, Jacob shall return and have rest and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid, for I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Yes. Now, I got that when we were getting ready to come back to Texas. I came back to Texas. I bought a house and took a job that paid me straight commission. I'll tell you something, that will make you think twice. You know what straight commission is? No selly, no eaty. You catch that? You don't sell anything you don't eat. They don't pay you anything. And God worked it out, but I had a promise. Jacob shall return and have rest and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. Listen, when God gives you a promise, there are promises in the Bible that you can go to. There are promises. But when you believe those promises is when you see that opens the door to God. I could have stayed in North Carolina. And this church would have never happened. God ain't gonna make me do this. But we decided to come back. It was a step. I was scared. But I had a promise. If I would return, I would have rest and no one would make me afraid. You see what I'm saying? God can give you a promise. So when you're going through tough times, don't just flip through the Bible and go, okay, I'm going to find a scripture. Oh, great. I'm going to believe that one. Don't do that. That's called Bible roulette. Don't play it. Because you could wind up on, and Judas went and hung himself. Wrong scripture. Don't do that. But I'm saying, you begin. God gave this little lady a promise, and the promise is, if you'll make me something for. Are there any promises like that in scripture? Yeah. How about this one? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There is the principle of putting God first. And does it take faith to do it? Yeah. Because I remember, especially when it comes to things like tithing, you're putting God first. You're like, oh my gosh, I need this money, all the things we can do with this money. I'm going to put God first on this. But there's a promise that said if we will, He said He would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. I've seen it happen. You know 10% of everything that comes in this church goes out? Why? Because we believe that. We believe that God, and it goes to missions, it goes to the poor, it goes to outreach, it goes out. Why? Because we just believe, man, we're going to honor God. And if we honor Him, He'll honor us. Amen. There's a promise. Are there times I look at that money and go, ooh, that'd be good to keep it? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, I'm human. But I believe God can do more with 90% than I can do with 100%. Just saying. The idea, and we'll continue this thought, but the idea is when we believe His promises, it opens the door to Him. This little lady ate and her family was sustained and taken care of. And listen, if God can take care of that little widow and her son, I believe He can take care of you. He's not lost the ability to help His people. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this time. We're thankful for all that You've done. Thankful, Father, that Your promises give us reasons not to fear, reasons to be encouraged, reasons to be joyful in the middle of tears. Thank You, Father, that we can do what You say we can do. And we thank You that Your promises become real in our heart. So, Father, we're grateful tonight. We trust in You with all our heart, and we don't lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, Lord, we acknowledge You, and You will direct our paths. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came this evening and said, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord. I've never asked Him to be the Savior of my life, but I really would like to. Or maybe you're like I was. I was raised in church. I grew up in church, but I got so far away from God. I knew in my heart I wasn't right with Him, but I wanted to be. That door is wide open. He's knocking, but you got to open it. It's very simple. We're not going to have you stand up or come to the front, but if that's you and you say, either one of those situations, Alan, I know I want the Lord in my life, or I want to return. I want to come back to Him. I need Him back in my life. Would you pray for me? If that's you that I'm talking to, I need you to just do one quick thing right here. Just slip your hand up and say, Alan, that's me. I need Him in my life, or I want to come back to Him. Across this auditorium, if that's you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else? Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Yeah. Got you on your side. There you go. Good. Wonderful. All right. I'm not going to embarrass you, but that's, it's always just good to acknowledge it. Something about saying, that's me. Anybody else? All right, we're going to pray. You can put your hands down. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I ask the whole church family just to pray this. We're all going to pray it out loud. Pray it so you can hear yourself pray it. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I've said yes to You. Father, thank You for those who prayed that prayer tonight. Father, for those who are wondering, for those who are on the fence, I thank You that You would just reveal Yourself to them as a wonderful, good God who has nothing but their best in store. Father, we're grateful for all that you have done. We appreciate everything you've done. Help us to open the door of our hearts, to open the door of our lives wide to you in every area. We'll give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.